Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth, airing live on Heritage Radio Network. All right. So, last week, had a special guest on, Lisa Fusco, a dear friend of mine, female hunter. And she kind of helped me to understand the woman's, I don't know, mentality about the art or the sport of hunting. If you were listening last week, you know I've never hunted with a woman before in my life. By no other reason than I didn't know any other real women hunters. So it was great having her there, kind of. And you know what I realized? I mean, she has the same mindset as me and the guys I hunt with. And it's kind of this escape from reality for a while that allows her to be in the woods and enjoy, you know, the 10 hours a day she spends out there hunting turkey, deer, everything else. But it, more importantly, that interview helped me reflect on why I hunt. And I always, you know, you've been listening to the show now for a while, and you know, I'm always giving my reasons, get away from my wife, I hate my kids, I got to be in the woods, all that stuff. But it runs deeper than that, obviously. And I started jotting down some notes, and I thought this might make a good follow-up to last week's show, you know, why men hunt. We've done shows justifying hunting, and we've done shows about the nutritional benefits of wild game, all of that stuff. But I never really broke it down, you know, basically into a list. So today's show is five reasons why every man should go hunting at least once in their lifetime. And that's easy for me to say. I've been hunting since I was a young boy, and I've been really lucky to have incredible mentors help me into the hunting world. Mostly, as you know, my father, my uncles, good friends of mine. And they helped me in the process of learning how to hunt. I was an Army sniper. I've learned the skills, you know, necessary to shoot. I was an Army scout, so I know how to hide in the woods. So all these things helped me kind of just naturally transition into the woods and be a hunter. But I started thinking deeper, you know, why? Why do I do it? So, you know, before I even start my list, let's be real clear here. If you're listening, I don't want you right after the show to run out and go buy a gun and go shoot the first, I don't know, furry brown animal you see. That's not what I'm talking about. But I wanted to give you, you know, the perspective into an activity that, and don't get offended, but has defined masculine man. For, I don't know, let's look back now. How long? 2 million years, give or take. Hunting has been a way of life, a way of surviving. Early man, you know, up until the agricultural revolution, had to go out and had to, absolutely had to, go kill an animal to survive. The name of the game was kill the beast and eat. Or fail and go hungry, possibly die. This is why, you know, most of human evolution, masculinity was defined by a man's ability to hunt. If he couldn't hunt, he was no good. He was no good to his people. He couldn't help in the survival process. Humans began to greatly diverge from the rest of the primates roughly 2 million years ago. And it did so because our ancestors had access to high-quality food, calorie-dense food, such as animal meat. I'm getting hungry as I talk here. I said animal meat, and I got hungry. My mouth started watering. I didn't have time for breakfast. I didn't even have my coffee. I'm a little cranky today, but that's all right. I'm a professional, and I will go on with the show. But this high-calorie animal meat, loads of protein, minerals, vitamins, and most importantly, fat. And research has shown that these primates, that primates follow a certain trend when it comes to body weight and diet. The smaller primates, I don't know, think of the smallest little monkey or some pygmy monkey, right? Have a high quality diet that is dense in calories, mainly insects, seeds. They eat fruit. The larger primates, like the gorilla, and that happens to be the largest of all the primates, have a low diet quality and are mainly volume feeders of green leafy plants. They just eat green stuff. Humans, and when I say humans, let's talk about Paleolithic humans right now. Are an outlier in this trend. We are relatively large primates. We're not quite gorillas, but we're pretty close. Some of us are a little closer than others. But we have a very high diet quality consisting of animal meat, fruits, seeds, and vegetables. This is why we evolved the brain that we did. Because we had the body surface area to support a large brain, as well as the calories from large animals to supplement it. And why? Because it was because of hunting. So what do we take from this? The bottom line is, I hate to tell you this, if you're denying your urge or you support PETA or the IDA or one of these anti-hunting groups, guess what? And you're a man. I'm not sure about the women. Maybe it's in your DNA. But for the man, it's in your DNA. It's there. Don't deny it. While the methods of modern hunting are much different and less strenuous, obviously, than prehistoric hunting, for roughly a million years or so, humans practiced persistence hunting, they called it, meaning they literally ran an animal down over a span of miles. You know, they would run the animal for 30 or 50 miles till the animal just couldn't run anymore. The DNA is still in you. You still have that DNA running through your body. And that's why I came up with 5 reasons why you should go hunting at least once in your lifetime. And really, you got to find your own way there. But the first reason, and I think the listeners of this station can really appreciate this one, and that's why I really put it number one, it's to help you reconnect with your food. My son's a sixth grader, and a lot of his friends are over, you know, and they're a bunch of knuckleheads running around. But if you ask any one of them, and ask any sixth grader in the United States right now where their meat comes from, and I'd bet you $100 that the majority of them would say the grocery store. That would be their first answer. It comes from the store. What do you mean? My mom goes to Stop and Shop, and it comes from the refrigerator. Mom puts it in there, and then we're good to go. And that's a little sad to me. My son knows better. But a lot of the youth in this country are not being brought up on how food actually gets to a table. As Americans, overall, we have a deep, what do you want to call it, a disconnect with our food. We don't understand that the pork chop that we put on the dinner plate once was a living, breathing creature that someone had to kill, someone had to gut it, and then someone had to process it for it to get to our plate. So For me, when you hunt and kill an animal, you experience every part of how food gets from point A to point B. First of all, you have to kill it. That's the big part of it, right? The hunting, you got to kill it. Carry its body to clean it. You know, you kill it out in the woods. We got to drag it out of the woods. You got to skin it. You got to gut it. And then you have to process the meat. You have to, you know, process the meat in a reasonable way so you could serve it. Yeah, a lot of places, a lot of guys use butchers, things like, I'm not going to lie, I hunt a lot. I have a dear friend who's a butcher, and he takes care of a lot of my venison. But just doing it once, I think, could help you reconnect with the whole process. While I know a lot of you, this image I, you know, just painted for you of killing, gutting an animal might turn you off in some ways. And as mentioned, some of you would definitely consider it cruel and unusual. The funny thing is, I want you guys specifically to reflect. You know, you don't think twice about the hypocrisy of biting into their, I don't know, organic free-range chicken breasts they bought from Whole Foods. That animal's killed in some way, right? Never mind Purdue chicken, don't get me started, and all that nonsense. For me, you know, if you take the animal yourself, you'll have so much more respect for the living creature itself, and appreciate that living creature provided for you and your family to survive. And the people who really think they're doing the right thing, and they are in some ways, I guess it's a little better to eat organic free-range chicken breasts they bought from wherever. But I'm a firm believer that if one wants to eat meat, they should have the experience at least once of killing the animal for themselves and making all the necessary preparations to put the animal on the dinner plate. To me, you'll have a much deeper respect for meat in general. So that was my first reason. Number two, develop, I call this one, develop knowledge and skills. When one thinks of the skills involved in hunting, the first thing that comes to mind is the ability to shoot, right? And for non-hunters that I talk to, a lot of it is like, oh, a high-powered rifle, you shoot a high-powered rifle from 40 yards away and kill an animal. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. Well, being able to shoot accurately, and I'm a former Army sniper, so it's not too much of a problem at this point, is an important aspect of hunting. Many in the hunting world, including myself, prefer to bow hunt instead of rifle hunt. And I got into bow hunting later in my hunting life. It was after the Army that I decided to pick up a bow and start bow hunting, just based on the fact that I could have more of a challenge to the hunt itself. But really, other more important skills are needed to be a successful hunter. Understanding your prey is the most vital part of the hunt. How do they use their senses to interact with the environment? You know, the example would be deer can smell and hear extremely well, but their vision is terrible. You know, they have limited vision. Turkey, on the other hand, could pick a needle out of a haystack at 50 yards, but their smell but their smell isn't so good. Knowing these things about your prey cause you to interact with your surroundings differently based on what you're after, the whole preparation leading to the hunt, and even being out there. You also get to know the animal you are hunting in a very intimate way. And that's a great thing to have. And it also lends to the respect of that animal that you're hopefully going to consume soon. Aside from gaining knowledge about your prey and its environment, you got to know the environment the prey lives in if you want to kill it, right? You have to be able to move through the woods silently. If you've never tried that, it's a lot harder than you would suspect. You have to learn how to maintain all your equipment. You have to know how to tune your bow. You know your your range finders, all the equipment we use. And it includes taking apart and cleaning a gun, properly sharpening a knife, learning how to set up hunting stands. All of these things are important life skills, for me at least, I think. I'm not a survivalist, but you never know what happens. You never know. It's nice to know. If you know, if you're laughing at me now, I'm a bigger man, and you could come to me, and if you could bring something to the community, I will allow you in my community. I will provide security and meat, and you can, I don't know, put on a show or something. Maybe you're, or maybe you bake bread. That would be a good skill set. So, you know, for me, and again, I'm going to sound a little bit like a meat-headed man. It's not a bad skill to learn how to take apart a weapon and be able to at least fire it. I'm sorry. That's how I feel about it. You also have to learn to process a kill. And that's where it really, really, that's what it really comes down to. Experienced hunters will tell you it's an art form. And just like any butcher will tell you it's an art form. Knowing how to process your own animal is invaluable. And truthfully, once you could do a rabbit, you could do a turkey, you could do a deer, a squirrel, you could do any animal. These are practical skills that most men have no knowledge of in this country anymore. And I think that if more people had it, hunting wouldn't be considered so unnecessary and maybe barbaric in certain groups anymore. All right. So what'd I do? Two? Wow. I got to pick this up already. It's already 17 after here. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
Target Practice by the Hard Bodies.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Wild Game Domain. I'm your host, Chad Pagano. All right, so we did one, reconnect with your food. Two, develop knowledge and skills that you may not necessarily have now. Number three, and this really would have been number one for me, but I put it as number three. You can get away from everything. Number three, you can just forget about life for a while. You know, one of my favorite things about going hunting is leaving my stupid iPhone and iPad in my car or back at the house, walking into the woods, just getting away from normal life for a whole day. It's really an amazing thing if you've never done it. Most people, I think, in today's world can't remember the last time they went without their phone, computer, TV, for more than a couple of hours in a day. And really, if you don't have an electronic device in your hand constantly, You know, that constant stimulation, constantly stimulating your mind. You notice some things happen. You do a lot of thinking. We used to call it just thinking and using your imagination. You get to self-reflect when you're out there. You get to sit there and think about everything you've done. When I'm out in the woods, I usually give myself one self-analysis about what I want out of life. You know, what are my goals? What am I trying to accomplish? And how will I reach them? And most of the time, it's a vicious circle. I sit there for a while, and it all turns out my goal is to be in the woods hunting, and I'm actually in the woods hunting. So, but maybe you have bigger goals than me. I'm a simple man. Sit me in a tree stand for 10 hours. I'm happy as a clam. You don't need to go hunting, truthfully, or be deep in the woods to do this. But for me, hunting is the outlet where I could let that modern world just disappear. You know, my best hunting buddy, Joe Wydell, him and I, we try to escape for days at a time. And I'm not talking about a modern cabin. We go live in a Cabela's Outfitters tent with a wood-burning stove. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I bring my iPad. When it's time for bed, I lay down, I have a movie, and I fall asleep. But we're living in a tent in the middle of November, upstate New York, in the middle of nowhere. You know, we have a Weber grill out there, so we eat pretty good. We have a little bourbon and call it a night. But you're out there in the woods, the stars, the surrounding, the air. And we're in an area that's not accessible by car. And people say, oh, how do you get so many deer? I don't understand. You're so lucky. If one more person tells me I'm lucky, I work my ass off to get out there and to get where other people are not. You know, the guy who parks his car on the side of the road, goes 50, 100 yards into the woods and leans against a tree and doesn't see a deer doesn't surprise me. So, you know, to be a successful hunter, you got to get out there and you got to escape the modern world. But more than that, it just gives you that time to kind of reflect and look at your life and relax for a while. And really, my wife sees it in me. When I come back after 3 or 4 days of being in the woods, I'm a different person. Everything slows down for me. The road rage is gone. My yelling at the neighbors, all gone. You know, I'm just a calmer person for having done that. And I think, you know, if you're listening to the show now and you live here in Brooklyn and you don't want to hunt, you're opposed to firearms, God bless America, do what you want, but go escape for a couple of days. Leave your iPhone. Tell everyone where you're going, because I don't want to see Fox News all night. Missing Brooklynite is gone for 3 days. Just tell someone where you're going and go live off the land for 3 days. You'll be a better person, a better man for having done it. All right. What's next? 4. I kind of talked about this a little bit, but you work on your patience. In the last one, we talked about patience. But hunting is a waiting game. I would say 99.7% of the time, you are sitting in a tree stand, perched up against the base of a tree, or trying to stalk or walk slowly and quietly through the woods. Nothing is happening. Nothing but silence. But for all that time spent waiting, the rush that comes from encountering your prey is all worth it. It makes it that much better that you put the time in. And if you're a non-hunter, I'm not talking about one day. I'm talking about, it could be for certain guys, weeks. I got an email from a guy the other day. I felt terrible. He was like, hey, I love hunting. I've been hunting for 5 years. Great show, you know, very nice guy. So I emailed him back. I said, oh, great, where do you hunt? You know, send me some pictures or something. He's never killed anything. In 5 years hunting, the guy has never even killed anything. And, obviously he's the worst hunter known to man, or I don't know where he's hunting, but, you know, he's still getting the benefit of being out there and everything else, and he seems pretty happy in it. But when you encounter the kill, when you finally have done it. When the goal of taking down that animal is complete, the adrenaline rush is really an amazing thing. And I know I'm going to get my emails now. I'm such a animal. I'm a savage. I get joy from this. Yeah, I get joy from harvesting my own food. It's an amazing emotional response when you take the life of another animal. So hunting teaches you to constantly be aware of your surroundings. Even in that 99.7% of the time when you think you're just sitting there, you it's corny, but you become one with nature. You actually sense, your senses become more alert. If you become impatient, lose your discipline, decide to move around, fidget, I don't know, break twigs, you probably just alerted your animal that you are there and you are not going to get the harvest. You have to be mentally strong enough to be still and quiet for hours at a time. And for this reason, hunting also provides a great outlet, you know, just to kind of meditate and worry about nothing but the woods around you and actually just reflect and relax for a while. And it builds a discipline. There's a discipline to being silent and shutting your yap for 8 hours while you're sitting in a tree, and not being able to talk to someone. And you'd be surprised. You could do it. Go out there and do it, and you'll be a better person, a better man for having done it. All right, we're running out of time. So number five, along the lines of that self-reflection we were talking about earlier, you learn more about yourself. Like I said, when you take any living creature's life, believe me, you are going to learn a lot about yourself at that moment. When I killed my first deer, I was excited. But when I approached the deer and I saw the deer laying there, the carcass laying there, it was a real eye-opener for me. The realization hit me that 5 minutes before this thing was alive, it was a living creature, and now it was dead and laying at my feet. And for this reason, I'm a firm believer in not letting anything you hunt go to waste, obviously. It's a mantra. I'll say it at the end of this show, right? So if you don't eat your kill, you know, give it away. Give it to hunters. There's Hunters for the Hungry. There's great organizations out there. Or, you know, just give it to someone who will eat it and use it. But that emotional response you get from killing animals, for me, and maybe this is because I'm probably closer to the caveman than I would like to be, but the emotional response for me has always been gauged on the size of the animal. When I kill a squirrel, there is very little emotional response. When I kill a turkey, there's slightly more emotional response. When I kill a deer or a bear, there's a huge emotional response. I have to really stop myself from crying because I'm a man. I don't cry. I'm sorry to say that, but I don't. But there's a overflow of emotions that come out, and it's a great opportunity for you to kind of analyze yourself in that moment. And the important thing is understanding that the responsibility of what you've just done. You've took a human, not a human creature, sorry. Delete that part. I didn't say human. I would never. You've taken a creature, a living creature is what I meant to say, from the face of this earth. And that's a huge responsibility. People who kill an animal just for the sake of killing them have no business, obviously no business calling themselves hunters. That's not hunting. If our hunter-gatherer ancestors saw someone kill an animal, take a picture of it, high-fiving their friends, and then just walk away, leave it to rot, they think we're crazy, obviously. Because of hunting, I developed a strong conviction of not letting really anything in my life go to waste. I try not to waste anything I have in my life. And that includes time, includes, you know, material things in my life, shirt, food, everything. I think it makes you more aware of what you have in your life. So, you know, even if you're some 30-year-old guy and you've never hunted a day in your life, it's not too late. I'm here to help you too. Email me. It's ingrained in your DNA. It's ingrained there. You just have to find it. And it's really a sin to ignore your true nature. Your true nature as a man wants you to hunt. Hunters are a friendly bunch. They're great guys. And if you know one, talk to him. He'd be more than happy to help you out. I get it. Hunting is not for everyone. But I guarantee if you try, you'll gain a whole new respect for where, at a minimum, where your meat comes from, after you've gotten your hands a little bloody with your own kill. And I also promise you, you know, your fresh wild game will taste a hell of a lot better than that Tyson chicken breast you're going to have for dinner tonight. That's for sure. So get out there and give it a try. You'll be a better man for having done it. All right. So that's it. Another show. That's all the time we have. I'd like to thank my crew for producing and engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Also, check out my website, Wild Game Domain. And remember, if you kill it, you better eat it. Thanks for listening.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.